right, I got a serious question for y'all.
Okay.
Shoot.
Go for it.
Are you team Macklemore or Mackleless? I'm Macklemost.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm Mackle-all.
I pick up all of my Mackles at the thrift store.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
There we go. Got it.
You gon' pop Nailed some it. Tags.
That's how that song went. I was like, I refuse to like go look it up, or at least like I just haven't got around to like. I know that there was a song by Macklemore that made him famous called Thrift Store.
Thrift Shop, yeah.
Thrift Shop.
There Come on, old man.
Yeah, I'm really remembering.
Get it
really
together.
Well. Israel's doing a genocide.
And but it's like I haven't. I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, he's a swagged out crazy white boy.
Yeah, I remember he looks like the antagonist in Doug.
What was his name? Oh my god, yeah.
Roger.
Roger, there you go.
Yeah, dude, yeah, he does look like Roger.
Yeah.
Roger, I think, had like green skin,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he doesn't have green skin, but...
Macklemore should dress up as Roger for Halloween.
Yeah, you know,
just like put on like green face paint.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think like red hair too. Like, you know, you have to like get his hair even
his
redder.
It's kind of like strawberry.
It's ruddy. Right?
Yeah. And just like style it so that it goes like at like a 45 degree yeah, angle yeah, from
but,
his forehead.
But
yeah.
still wavy because he
yeah.
has that.
Yeah. He's got a wave. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the wave. But yeah. Hey. In the whole Kendrick and Drake beef, I was expecting something to come out that talks about like, you know, the situation at hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this is a great moment for white rappers. Is really what I'm trying to say.
Really.
I listened to it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. What's happening with the Lamar Drake beef? Like what?
Too much.
Well, like what is? Well, like what started this?
I know he called Drake a pedophile.
Yeah. Yeah. I caught that.
Yeah. That's the root of the what do you call it? The basis of the attack.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know, like Drake and Kendrick like decided to give everybody some entertainment.
Right.
That's the way I sort of view all.
All rap beefs are like fake, right?
Right. Yeah.
Until they're not, you know, like Tupac, right. Biggie, yeah. like,
sure.
you know, like people
well,
do.
Well, Tupac was killed by the CIA, but whatever.
Yeah.
So point is that, maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe, all rap beef is directed by the CIA.
Oh my god, I hadn't considered that. Much
wow,
to consider.
Much to consider.
But yeah, no, I you know, they're all artists. They're putting out art. I mean, how can you judge art?
Yeah.
Right?
I judge art really easily.
Yeah.
Bad. This is bad.
I'm imagining the Langley offices, and it's just like, you know, departments, you know, like on the wall, it's just like rap beefs. The rap beefs department where they're all like figuring out who should be angry at each other.
Ye jumped in on it as well. I think basically like all of hip hop culture is like against Drake, except for like a handful of like, you know, ride or die Drake heads.
Once again, anti-Semitism rears its ugly head.
is Drake Jewish?
You hate to see it.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I think.
Interesting.
He's Canadian. That's close. I feel like he's Jewish.
Are we going to do some real-time fact-checking?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Drake Jew-ish? Yeah. Yeah, he's Jewish.
Oh, interesting.
NBC article. Drake's cultural identity is on trial again.
His cultural identity?
His cultural identity. It's on
as
trial.
As a pedophile?
No, I mean, like...
Is that his culture?
No. Like, Kendrick is basically saying, like, he's not black enough to say the N-word and stuff like that, you know? So,
I see. Okay.
Yeah, there's stuff. Apparently, it's pretty distracting to our species, what's going on between these two men. But I haven't been too keyed in to the details.
Hmm. Well, thanks for tuning in to Iron Weeds, a podcast of VH1 Productions.
Behind the rap beef.
Okay. David, do you want to tell us about the soccer stadium?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to keep reading about the Kendrick Drake beef?
I just wanted to make sure that Drake is Jewish, that's all.
Is he is Jewish?
Kind of, yeah.
He's Jewish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're getting a soccer stadium.
Hell yeah, I think.
This just seems, honestly, to be like one of the least thought through, most egregious money grabs I've of development I've ever seen.
What's the where's the money coming from? Who's grabbing money?
They're qui bono.
Qui bono.
The ballers. The footballers.
The footballers. You know how I'll get to that, right? So like, you ever see a whale fall? You ever see video of like a,
like out of the water and then back into the water?
No, like when a whale dies, it
It sinks to the bottom and then becomes like in its own ecosystem.
Yeah. And like over time, like different animals like feast on the corpse.
Yeah, I'm following you.
Yeah, okay. So imagine one of those.
Okay.
Listener, you too. Like imagine, you know, close your eyes and imagine like a whale carcass and all these different things eating it.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. In this extended metaphor, the whale carcass is the, and if you're not from Albany, this is going to be funny, the parking lot district.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So the parking lot district, to paint a literal picture over the metaphorical whale picture.
Okay. Right? Yes, yes.
David has just pulled out his acrylics.
Right. It sits like in the crux of like the thing that turns into Empire State Plaza, so yes. Like this, all these different highway interchanges, and yes. Like 787, and so there's just all these highway interchanges above you, and then below you, and then like on the ground is a ugly as fuck Greyhound station that always smells like piss, which I guess is kind of like par for the course for Greyhound.
It's a Greyhound station.
Yeah.
Else are people going to take a piss?
Yeah, right. And then like different parking lots that are all at different grades, so like it's all just one sea of parking, but they all come from other buildings that have since been demolished mostly.
Okay.
And so the parking lots like are like 6 inches above and below each other, so like you can't just drive through the parking lots.
They're the ribs of the whale.
Yeah
they're at different heights.
Yeah, and so they're all just kind of, like, fucked up. And so, basically, it's this really ugly... Also, the South End grocery store. Remember when they tried to do that thing where it was, like, it was a McDonald's, and then they tried to turn it into a
community center or something?
A community center thing, yeah. Yeah, so, like, that's on the edge of it, too. And so, all of this, like, fucked up development stuff that's, like, right in the middle of this. It's, like, one of the first things you see when you come into the city off of 787. Uh-huh. They've been trying to develop it for a long time. And so now they're saying, we're going to turn it into a major league soccer stadium and brew pub complex.
Shit.
For like $300 million.
Well, we don't even have a soccer team.
Correct.
Well,
we don't
if you
even
build it, they will come.
We don't even really seem to have like a culture of watching soccer in the area. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
who asked for this? I don't know.
It's probably like the beer pubs. Are big into the soccer, like sure. Like the beer
Wolfgang,
Wolf's beer garden,
Wolf's beer garden, not Wolfgang. Yeah. Wolfgang Pucks, Wolfgang Beer Garden Puck Store. So it's a proposed $300 million mixed use development anchored by an 8,000-seat soccer stadium. I mean, like, we all love the Tri-City Valley Cats. I'm wearing the hat right now.
You are?
We're going to open it. Brittany and I are going to opening day.
Oh, boy, are we excited, baby.
Yeah. When is that?
Friday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be
great. We got seats in the 100 section. Yeah. Oh, we're going to be calling balls before the ump does.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah. The nicest seats. You know, not to brag, but it costs $35 for the both of us.
Well, hopefully the new football stadium will be just as affordable.
I doubt it.
I can't imagine, yeah.
And that's the thing that I don't understand. It's like the Valley Cats have a hard time. Granted, it's baseball, and baseball, some people incorrectly perceive baseball as boring. But like the Valley Cats have like a hard time filling those seats. And they expect to fill an 8,000-seat soccer stadium in Albany.
Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's just like a whole culture of hooliganism that's just waiting for a spark, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then, you know, as soon as you get like, you know, the East Side Boys versus, I don't know.
The West Side Girls.
Yeah. You got people snapping fingers in the streets, pulling out switchblades and shit.
Yeah.
Suddenly that whole stadium's going to be full.
Right. Yeah, sure. So Kathy Hochul, who, as we all know, loves a good boondoggle, sports-related boondoggle, with her $600 million Buffalo Bills stadium. She has already signaled that she likes this idea. On Friday, she said, I want to do a Kathy Hochul accent or like a...
Oh, I wouldn't even...
Yeah.
I haven't heard her talk enough.
Yeah, she's like, I spend a lot of time here and I love soccer. She said during a news conference called on an unrelated issue, right? So she's just like throwing in like, hey, guys, by the way, I spend a lot of time in Albany and I love soccer. Anyone? Anybody? Anyone got some money? So I'd love to go to a soccer game in a beautiful new facility. This city deserves a lot. I guess she just said that like in an unrelated press release.
All right.
There is now a what would you call it? A consortium or a gaggle? I don't know.
A conspiracy.
A conspiracy. That's
of the dunces.
A murder?
Yeah, a conspiracy of capitalists.
A conspiracy of capitalists. Yeah.
Where so the prospective owners of this proposed $300 million 8,000 seat soccer stadium, where currently there are a bunch of parking lots and a bus depot. It's Ed and Lisa Mitzen, plus a group of investors, including real estate developers Jeff Buell, who I suspect is the richest person in the Tri-City area. Not enough people know about him, Jeff Buell. He's a principal at Redburn Development. Chris Sprarigan. And together they would... they would be a part of an organization called Business for Good.
Okay.
I love when business is for good.
Yeah, it's about time that business is for good.
Or maybe it's just Ed and Lisa Mitzen, who are founders of a thing called Business for Good.
Okay.
And they're going to bring on those other people that would own the team that would play in the stadium.
Okay.
There'd be the $75 million stadium. Out of the $375 million goes to the stadium, it would anchor hotels, restaurants, apartments, and much, much more. They want to open the stadium June 2026.
Wow.
Holy shit.
They want to get this shit started right now.
Hell yeah.
To have a game in 2 years.
Well.
Gives them plenty of time to find a team, I guess.
Right, I guess.
I'm going to start stretching right now.
Yeah, they want a six-floor parking garage for 885 cars. They have to move. We still need a bus station. So, like, they have to, like, redesign a bus depot. CDTA has always wanted a hub for, like, all three of their... BRT lines kind of converge around there, so they wanted some sort of a transfer station there. So, like, there's a bunch of stuff with CDTA that would have to happen there. The city just bought that South End grocery store that used to be a McDonald's for $400,000. That could be a part of it. Also, to go back to the metaphor of the whale fall, it's just like this conspiracy of capitalists just kind of like picking apart all these different pieces of this dead spot in the city to make a brew pub soccer thing.
Complex.
Okay.
And you know, it's, they've got all their ducks in a row when Chris Churchill has already written a
affirmative op-ed.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So they got the two people you need, Hochul
and
Chris Churchill.
Yep.
Yeah. So I thought we could just end by playing a little game with Chris, where he's spitballing the names of the possible names for an Albany soccer team.
Okay.
518 United.
Ooh. Boom. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We're divided on that one. It sounds like FC Fort Orange. Sounds a little fashy.
Terrible.
The Albany Aardvarks.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love a good aardvark.
Yeah. Me too.
Are aardvarks around here?
No. No.
I think, I think aardvarks only live in Africa.
Yeah, I think that they're, yeah, from the motherland.
Yeah. So what any other names you could think come up off the top of the dome here? What about like the Albanians?
How about the Trash Natos?
Yeah, the Trash Natos. That's okay.
I like Trash Natos.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
What's something that's unique to Albany?
We could call it the
eggs.
The eggs. I like
the
that.
The Albany eggs.
The Albany eggs.
And or kegs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah, like Egg United. I like Egg United.
I think they should just call it the Cap City Riot.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cap City Riot. Yeah. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think they should be called the Albany Warriors, brought to you by Ironweed's podcast.
Ooh, all right. Okay.
The Henry Hudsons.
Sure, the Hudsons, yeah.
Let's see.
The Hudson Hawks.
The Tulips.
Ooh. Okay.
They all have two lips.
Sorry.
All right. Well, write in with your favorite idea for our Albany soccer team.
Yeah.
And we will make sure it gets in the running for
Cap City Slickers.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the Yankee Doodle Dandies.
Yeah, you're really just throwing them out there. yeah, the landlords.
Yeah,
ooh, the landlords. Yeah.
The lords like of the that. Land. Lords of the land. Lords of the land united, because it's only like six people.
They are united.
Yeah, yeah, they're united. Yeah, yeah. I think it should. I think the soccer club should be called the landlords, because that's who owns the soccer stadium. And the soccer team are just a bunch of landlords. So it should
be the aristocrats.
Nice. The bed bugs. The Albany bed bugs.
That's anti-Semitic.
Is it?
Do you not remember that whole... I can't remember the guy's name, and I'm not looking it up.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. Yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, the combined sewage overflow events.
Combined sewer overflow events. Yeah, that's what we're naming that team.
Well, I'm excited.
We love to laugh.
Yeah.
We love to laugh on this show.
So that we may cry.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just speaking about soccer, that shit is so hard. That's like the hardest fucking sport in the world. It's like nonstop sprinting. Yeah. You sprint for like 3 hours.
3 hours. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy how fit soccer players are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's like the opposite of football, which is ironic.
Right.
Well, because football is also all about sprinting, but like the plays are so short.
You sprint for like 4 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, 16, 20, 30, that's
maybe
amount. But like, you know, the level of just continuous cardiovascular endurance you need to be able to like play on a soccer pitch. They're also huge.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was the other thing. I don't really feel like I don't feel like that spot is big enough.
Well, they're probably gonna have to demolish a lot of shit. Like, yeah, they're gonna displace like thousands of businesses, I'm sure.
The idea is that this fits in like most of what's
already empty.
Yeah. But like, you know, walking around there, you see like, you know, there's bodegas, there's all types of like little shoppies that are gonna have to get bought out or moved or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. I think one thing that is confusing about where it fits, and you can even see it in the rendering, is that it looks like one side of the stadium will be like under a highway overpass. Yeah.
That's the pissy side of the field.
Yeah. So I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work out. Also, this rendering is just so like, here you go. Like, I don't know how else to describe. It's just like, here, this is it. There you go.
Yeah. Architecture like, is my passion.
Extremely low effort. work on there. All right. Hard pivot to a different topic.
Hard pivot.
Yeah.
Israel has invaded Rafah.
Yep.
But hey, Biden isn't sending the biggest bombs.
Yeah.
So
he's not sending the good ones, okay?
Yeah.
He's not sending guided missiles. To which one Israeli official responded, okay, well, we have unguided missiles.
Yeah.
So we'll just flatten 10 buildings with our unguided missiles.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Who could have predicted that?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the most unhinged response to that by Netanyahu, he's just like, we'll fight with our fingernails.
More than fingernails. Yeah.
So Israel has begun a ground assault in Rafah, where 1.5 million Palestinians are currently refugees from the war in the rest of Gaza. This has been like the one safe space in all of the Gaza Strip that anybody's been able to go to. It's still not safe.
Yeah. It's where everyone's been herded into.
Yes.
Like,
it's now the most densely populated place on Earth. It's half the size of Disney World.
And significantly less fun.
And way less fun.
Yeah.
And probably fewer toilets.
Yeah. But full of children.
But full of children. So there are similarities.
Yeah, that this place has, it's like 600,000 kids.
The UNICEF has described it. Rafah is now a city of children who have nowhere safe to go in Gaza.
Yeah.
So this is really just totally horrific. The conditions in Rafah are, you know, some of the worst conditions that we've seen in this war. There's one toilet for every 850 people and one shower for every 3,600 people. So there's no infrastructure for this kind of encampment. People are, they say it's so dense that everywhere you go, you're shoulder to shoulder with other people. People are laying in the streets right next to each other under tarps and blankets, any kind of makeshift shelter they can find and create.
And you know, there's like the, when Israel says that, like, you know, they have the most moral military on Earth, right? They say that, like, well, when we do start bombing a place, like
we leaflet them
to show them where the safe spot is. But you look at these pamphlets and these leaflets and they're confusing.
Yeah.
And also, like, yeah, you've been starving for 6 months.
Yeah.
And you're with, like, your two kids, and you've been living out of a tent.
And your neighbor's kids. Yeah. Your neighbors were killed, and now you have their six children with you. Yeah.
And now you have to, like, go, like, a quarter mile in a different direction today. Like,
God knows what level of capacity to survive there.
Yeah, yeah.
None. There's no infrastructure anywhere else.
With, like, the possibility that you might just get it wrong, because this leaflet is just, like, here, this square over here with like no connection to, with like no like landmarks or anything to like say that you're in the right place,
or you might get it right and get bombed anyway.
Yeah.
Like, Israel has been routing refugees to places that they're also actively bombing. So there is no safe place. There is no haven left.
UNICEF estimates that people in Rafah have approximately 3 liters of safe water per day. For everything, from drinking, cooking, cleaning, to bathing.
And that's on average, which means that there's a huge amount of people that have probably none.
Yeah. And the recommendation is 15 liters of water a day for emergency situations. So, Israel, leading up to the ground invasion, Israel has been carpet bombing Rafah camps relentlessly. There are a lot of things that, like, you don't always think about, like, there are no diapers or sanitary products. people are like open air defecating because there's nowhere else to go, which means that, you know, diarrhea, probably dysentery, things like that diseases rampant. There are only 3 hospitals in the region, in the city, for 1.5 million people. So
that, I mean, if you could still consider them hospitals,
right? If they're even still standing. Yeah, I mean, this article is from Thursday. So like,
I mean, how do you have a hospital without water?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
It's just like,
yeah. And it's also, yeah, possible that the IDF has already found Hamas underground facilities under all of those hospitals. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. One man told Al Jazeera, they have left no trees, no homes, no people, and no trace of life. Hasn't the world seen our slain children? So ahead of the invasion, the Israeli army put up checkpoints to block Palestinian men of quote-unquote military age from leaving Rafah. They've also closed down the, you know, whole border with Egypt, which means that no aid is getting through. No aid is getting into Gaza at all anymore. That was their last checkpoint. That was their last point of entry that wasn't completely controlled by Israel. One of the first things they did, this is so like distasteful, is they took bulldozers or tanks, and they knocked down the "I Love Gaza" sign. It was like, you know, like "I Heart New York." It was like that, but it said "I Heart Gaza," and they knocked it down.
Yeah, they just like drove a tank over it, and they filmed it. Like
they filmed it. Yeah, it was like propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah, which is like, you know, if you're making the case, which is obviously not true, that like, you know, this is a war against Hamas, then like, why would you do that?
Why would you do
any of this shit?
Well, but if you take, I mean, if you take their lines for face value on good faith and say that, yes, Hamas is building fucking magical tunnels underneath every piece of civilian infrastructure that exists, and the only way that Israel can ever be safe is to completely wipe out all the Hamas tunnels. Let's just say all of that's true, even though it's not. But let's say it is. It still doesn't explain why you had to knock down the "I Heart Gaza" sign.
Yeah, or destroy the universities, or deny them water,
Hamas in there.
Or like, you know, yeah, like any of this fucking shit. Like,
Hamas is getting their bachelor's degrees. Okay.
Doing night school to get a business degree for Hamas. Yeah, the there's also, we also have in the show notes a Jacobin article that is describing more of the devastation here that is
That's what I was actually reading from.
Oh, is that what you were reading from? Okay,
well then there's another piece by The Intercept that is also very good.
Yeah, Dr. Phil interviewed Netanyahu recently. Dr. Phil.
Yeah, he would.
Why is Dr. But why? Why? who asked for that?
No one asked for Dr. Phil.
Right?
Under any circumstance ever.
Oprah's never. Many sins.
Oh, yeah. Oprah owes us for Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, is Netanyahu, like, have, like a nephew that is being mean to him or something? Like, why is Dr. Phil interviewing him? So like, you know, get some sort of, like, you know, family trauma worked out in the middle of all this. And man. Him and Ben Gavir, like, you know, having a sit down session to, like, you know, work out their differences.
So in more stories of Israel's horrifying war crimes.
New Abu Ghraib just dropped.
Yeah. A military base called Seti Tamon that is now doubling as a detention center in the Negev desert. Some whistleblowers spoke to CNN. Whistleblowers as well as ex-detainees.
And these would be like IDF whistleblowers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I like, now that that feels like a dam breaking to me, right?
Yes.
If their own soldiers, right? There's always been some degree of pushback. I don't know, what do you call it, like, you know,
resentment, resistance,
yeah, resistance against this current government. Like, not every single Israeli is on board with genocide, I would assume, but never, they've done a pretty good job of making sure that, like, no active IDF soldier has been, like, actually been able to defect or say something embarrassing. Yeah. But that's starting to
Besides all the TikToks
fall apart. Well, yeah. You know,
aside from
any time where they would say like this thing, this horrific thing is bad, instead of this horrific thing is good.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is a pretty harrowing report about the conditions at this facility. Men are stripped down to their underwear and put in restraints, cords tying their wrists together, like I assume like zip ties.
Yeah.
And blindfolded and put into trucks and driven out to this detention center where they're kept blindfolded, half naked.
Pretty much the whole time.
Pretty much the whole time.
Yeah. There's about 70 detainees about 18 miles away from Gaza. They're put in stress positions, and we should say that also, like, the CNN article includes photos, right?
Yes.
There are photos that they say that have been the geotagged, or I guess the photos themselves aren't geotagged, but like they're able to corroborate that like these photos came from this place and that it accurately depicts what's going on there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hostages.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they say, Israel says that once they determine that they have no connection to Hamas, they let them go. But that is directly contradicted by what some of these whistleblowers are saying that they actually do, which is that once they find out that you don't have a connection to Hamas, they put you in a position of, like, I don't know, leadership, basically, where you serve as a liaison between the other prisoners and the guards. So you're kept in this role and they take your blindfold off. One man said, you know, as much torture as it was to be blindfolded, it was even worse once they took them off because then I could see what the conditions actually were. I mean, they describe like the smell of untreated wounds, you know.
This is Dachau shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. You know, there have been we knew this, but to see it reported in CNN is its own fucking thing, that there have been amputations because the restraints have been put on so tight that that hands have to be removed. The lacerations in the skin from the restraints are so bad.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know if you don't want to look up the photos yourself, which I would understand. I mean, there's nothing like directly like gory in them, but like, I mean, just to paint a picture here, it's like you ever see the movie Children of Men, right? And they're mm-hmm. like going through those camps in the middle, like it looks a lot like that.
Yeah. So the whole report is pretty harrowing. We'll obviously include a link in the show notes if you want to read through it, but to have this actual, like, a lot of this stuff is stuff that we've known for a while, but to have actual whistleblowers who've spoken to CNN and confirmed it is pretty remarkable. So you know, there are photos. You can check it out in the show notes if you want to learn more.
Yeah. Here's hoping there's a change, you know, like, come on, miracle.
Yeah. Should we talk about Tesla?
Always.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah. Hey, if these motherfucking Cybertrucks and shit are semi-sentient, can they be brought up on murder charges?
Ooh.
Like, can we, like, can we just put one of them, put one of those motherfuckers on the stand?
Yeah. Well, it turns out that they're not as smart as...
That's kind of the problem.
as Elon said. So, yeah, that's going to be far off. The real quick, I did hear lately that... So, like, you see that video of the front trunk of the Cybertruck, like, just, like, snap a carrot in half?
Excuse me, it's called the frunk.
I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say frunk.
Are you talking about the guy who put his finger in the front?
Frunk it up.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see this, Chris, where like it just like cuts a carrot right in half?
That's a feature.
Yeah.
it's like that hand chopper thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a slap chop.
Yeah, it's a slap chop.
So the once that went viral, apparently they pushed out a over-the-air update to make it not do that. to like sever limbs. But it still really fucking hurts because so like
wait, what? How did they do an over the air update to make it not dismember the owner of the vehicle?
Because everything is software powered, right? The whole fucking thing like is fly by is like by wire stuff, right? Like, so, the steering is by wire, like, so, all of it's by wire.
So the frunk is like actively pulled down at guillotine speeds.
Well, it's not speeds, it's the force, because like it's the force and it doesn't stop and it doesn't detect anything like caught there until now.
Okay, well, right. Here's that's progress.
Right. And it because it's like it's a huge piece of stainless steel that's just like being drawn down by a motor, and it's got a very sharp edge, so it just cuts whatever the fuck's in it, right? But and so they changed this thing so that now it detects something that's there.
Uh-huh.
It tries to close harder. So I think like they like reduced like the how hard it closes in general, but then when it detects something, it tries harder to close.
So it like goes slower until it
until it finds your finger and then it goes nom 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 yeah. nom. So
there are these videos of Cybertruck owners testing
fingering
out
their frunks.
Fingering their fronts. Yes.
Thank you.
Oh yeah. My God.
Thank you for giving that to me.
Yeah.
You gave that to yourself. That's the gift. Fingering your frunk is the gift you give yourself. Wife. And so they're just like, see, now it's okay. We're gonna test it out. And they just stick their whole ass hand.
Oh my God.
Or a finger, like
no way. There.
And it ranges from like ow, 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 ow,
no,
ow
no
to
way.
To one no guy way. Broke his fucking finger.
No fucking way.
And he's like, okay guys, don't do this.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which it just kind of reaffirms what I had always thought, which is like everyone that bought a Cybertruck gets everything they're due. Everything that happens to them.
They're in a BDSM relationship yes. with Elon Musk.
And 1,000%.
That is twisted.
Yeah, it's really fucking twisted. That is a really good way to put it, Chris. Yeah. This is just like a BDSM
God.
Relationship with their billionaire daddy that they just
oh
like
my God
they just like love this thing that keeps hurting them financially.
It's ideology.
It's like a findom relationship, but it's also like physically painful to own this vehicle.
My God.
But anyway,
so Tesla's being investigated for wire fraud.
This whole fucking thing, like this whole what is going on right now is the most unsustainable shit imaginable. Like there has to be like a severe break like in the next week or
you
two.
You would think so, yeah.
Well, unfortunately the investigation's been going on since late 2021.
Yes.
So
but they've just now narrowed it down to charges. They've picked what charges they think they're gonna pursue, which is securities and wire fraud.
Which to be honest isn't narrow. But
no. Well, they're purposefully broad, so you can charge them for all kinds of things using those.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what about all the other stuff in the vehicle? Like, there's wheel fraud, there's body fraud, there's paint job fraud, there's unbreakable window fraud, there's
gap fraud.
Doors don't open in the event of an emergency fraud, there's software spying on you, but not helping you in the case that you need it, fraud.
This car fucking killed the former Secretary of Transportation's sister. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Well, it turned out that, it was transportation, yeah. And she was drunk and accidentally drove it backwards into a river, or into a lake.
Well,
but
it drove up and over an embankment.
Yeah.
I think through a guardrail or something, and then
into the water,
and then it couldn't be opened. And there was enough time to, like, frantically text and call everybody for help.
Yeah, and while drunk.
Well, you can't open a car door in the water anyway.
Well, sure, but like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if even if you had like one of those, you know, Smith and Wesson fucking blades that have like the little like window breaker tip,
yeah,
that like,
yeah,
you could just hammer on that shit for a long time because Elon Musk thought it'd be cool to make his vehicle like bulletproof.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Yeah, that,
yeah, but the investigation is mainly about how Musk would just like say things about like the autopilot, or so first I think calling it autopilot was part of the problem, I mm-hmm. think, yeah, but just generally like these self-driving things where you would just say like you know, like it now it can drive itself completely without you, but that's wrong.
It's
like,
wrong. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's basically just, you know, securities fraud because he's misleading investors and wire fraud because he's misleading consumers.
That's it.
That's it. That's the story.
Yeah, he's a big fucking liar, and now it's become the government's problem.
We'll see if anything comes of it, yeah. But
the company stated that to our knowledge no government agency in any ongoing investigation has concluded that any wrongdoing occurred. Well, yeah, that's because we're in the process of concluding that. Yeah.
Sure.
That's what the investigation
yeah.
does.
Yeah. It is the, I mean, even in the sentence, it's like, it's an ongoing investigation, like an ongoing investigation will not conclude anything until it's no longer ongoing and it concludes. Like, it's yeah. no fucking sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great, what a great line.
Do you want to tell us about the Germany?
Yeah, so
factory.
Yeah, so the Tesla is being confronted on all sides here, where in Germany they're trying to expand their factory. So they call it a gigafactory there too. I guess like all their big factories they call it gigafactory. I don't know. But as I was reading, I was thinking, if no one else called it that, you know, and if like the media didn't just like, oh, okay, you call it Gigafactory, okay. Like if no one else fucking did that, and it was just this idiot calling his factory a Gigafactory, like you would correctly do what you're doing right now and laugh. Like that's stupid. That's a stupid thing to call a building.
Yeah.
A gigafactory? No, it's just a big fucking factory, you dumbass. Right? But because for some reason all the media is like, oh wow, it's bigger than a regular factory?
I've heard of a mega factory.
Yeah, right.
What, a gigafactory? So it's got 1,000 times more than a mega factory. It's 9/11 times 10,000.
It's so big. It's a big factory.
Oh man.
Okay, so the big factory is getting fucking bigger. So I don't know what if you call it something. What comes after Giga?
Terra
factory.
If you're keeping with the yeah. The computing motif,
right? well, hundreds mega protesters. Hundreds of climate protesters have clashed with police in Germany after attempting to storm the Tesla factory near Berlin. Like, they did a Naruto run directly at the factory. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there video?
Yeah, can't stop
yeah,
them all.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of video.
Hell yeah. Is this the volcano group?
Yes.
The same one that did the arson that took out, like, the electricity to, like, I think, like, 10,000 people's homes or something like yeah. that, plus the Gigafactory.
Yeah, how do you say it in a German accent? Oh,
that's fucking
that. Gegenfaktoren.
We do not apologize to any if we have any German listeners. That's
we're just, not sorry.
Not yeah. sorry.
Your language is silly.
Yeah, demonstrators on Friday blocked a nearby motorway and interrupted the railway service by sitting on the tracks. There was also a sit-in on the country road near the factory. Footage on social media shows hundreds of people donning blue caps. I guess that's like the like their little,
their yang gang.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I guess that's like they're
just like pointing to their hat. They're like, math, motherfucker.
There's hundreds of us, even though you have a thousands of factory. Yeah. This is, yeah, it's their little uniform, the blue caps, and okay. And holding blue flags. Well, I guess he's also like giving right wing freaks some ammunition to like think that the UN is.
Oh, is that what is it is?
Storming it? I don't know. Yeah, they broke through a police cordon and they entered the grounds, but could not get into the actual factory of Giga. In a post on social media, which is Twitter, not X, Tesla CEO Elon Musk said that the group did not manage to break into the facility, and then said, why do the police let the left-wing protesters off so easily? It's just kind of asking questions out
just
loud.
Just asking there. Questions.
Just thinking out loud there. Facility currently employs an estimated 12,000 people. It makes around 500,000 cars a year. And it was briefly halted in March after a power outage was also triggered by, you know,
yeah, the arson.
The volcano group, you know, allegedly, possibly.
Allegedly.
Well, they took a responsibility for it. Well,
not for the arson, I don't think. No, they took responsibility for this.
Okay,
oh, really? Not according to the BBC.
Yeah, the BBC's going to let them off on that.
Okay, yeah. Fact check me.
Yeah.
Why is the BBC giving these left-wing protesters such an easy time?
I'm going to build a giga detention center.
Oh, well,
we put them in the factory in there's this corner where we put the microchips in their brains.
It's a re-education
because we ran out of the monkeys. All the monkeys, they go in the blenders and we use them to make the seats for the Tesla.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so that's
fuck this guy. I can't believe all of our fates are like tied to this guy's wagon.
Yeah,
like it's just
fuck fate, our pensions, like there's like pensions and insurance.
That's what I'm talking about.
Systems. Yeah,
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 I'm talking about the whole fucking global economy.
Yeah.
This giant house of cards is like on a foundation of like this motherfucker's bullshit.
Yeah,
like holy crap.
I'm trying to pull up this fucking Daily Beast article.
I'm the Daily Beast, actually. Every day, wake up.
Every time I want to read a Daily Beast article I have to put in my email address, and then they send me a link, and then I click the link, and then I get the article. This is the third time I've read this article. It's the third time I've had to do that.
Yeah. Fuck 'em.
One more story I wanted to talk about before we get to the wildflower, because it ties directly into the bonus episode that we're about to record.
Yeah, sure.
This happened. This happened on Tuesday outside of Columbia University. 25 protesters were picketing outside the home of one of the university's board of trustees in the Upper East Side. An argument broke out between the protesters and a driver, and as the protesters attempted to leave the area, the driver drove at the crowd, hitting one person.
Jesus.
Both the driver and the person that they hit were arrested. The person who was hit actually went to the hospital and was handcuffed to their bed. But that driver's...
For getting in the way of the car? Like, what? Like, blocking traffic?
For standard disrupting peace charges.
Yeah.
But that driver is 57-year-old Reuven Kahane. Now, if that name sounds familiar to you at all, it's because his cousin was Mir Kahane, who was a really influential leader on the far right in religious Zionism and Israeli nationalism. Huh. And he was, during his time, very fringe. He was associated with a violent terrorist organization. He was the founder of a violent Jewish terrorist organization, led a very interesting life, has become much more influential over the last like 10 years than he ever was during his own life. But anyway, we're going to talk all about that on a bonus episode. So if you want to hear about Kahanism, Mir Kahane, and the making of the modern Israeli right wing, you can hear it at patreon.com/ironweedspod. No, just /ironweeds. Patreon.com/ironweeds. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
For $1. You'll be able to listen to that content. So that's that.
We're gonna get into that family business.
It's pretty it's interesting. For this is kind of my gravy,
bag.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, this is... speaking of your bag of gravy.
My bag of gravy. Don't talk about my bag of gravy.
As a husband, uh-huh. Talk about your wife's bag of gravy. talk about your wife's podcast.
Oh, yeah. You should.
Yeah. Reactions, final bonus episode.
No, not the final. There's one more coming.
Penultimate.
Penultimate.
Which is a fancy way of saying second to last.
There's another one coming next week, but yeah.
The penultimate episode. Really good. Really, really good.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to talk about it?
So it was on General Edwin Walker, who was a
freak.
Major general in the military. Yep. He was involved in the integration of Little Rock Central High School, the Little Rock Nine, as they're famously known.
Yeah. He was like charged with making the integration happen, even though he hated this idea.
He was a staunch segregationist. Yeah. He was also a driving force behind the riot at Ole Miss when they tried to integrate the first time.
So he was on like opposite sides basically of these two things. First one for mm-hmm. work, the second one as a passion project.
As a passion project. Yeah.
he got to do what he really wanted to do.
Yeah. And he was a big figure among like the evangelical right wing. He was a really prominent Bircher, which is why he's part of the John Birch series, obviously. And he just led a very interesting life. And he's kind of a weird guy. A lot of weird shit happened to him. So, so that bonus episode is out now on the $7 reactionary tier for Iron Weeds and also on the Reaction Pod Patreon for $1. Okay, Wildflower?
Wildflower.
Trinity College in Dublin agrees to divest from Israeli firms after student protest.
Wait, so they didn't just, like, beat the shit out of their own students?
At Trinity, they took a weird angle at everything. Instead of calling in the police and throwing them all in jail, they just did what they asked.
Like, well, actually, your demands are quite reasonable. It's like, we are an educational institution. Like, why are we invested in the profit side of genocide? That's, you know, it's like...
Guys, why do we own 5,000 shares of a defense contract?
This is like, you know, the Simpsons meme where Seymour Skinner is like, am I really that out of touch?
Yeah, right. Like, yeah.
Or it's the children that are wrong. Yeah. It's like the one time that
over and over again,
that they're like, you know, I think based on historical precedent, the kids probably have a really good point. Like, you know. I think history will judge their opinions on this favorably.
Yeah.
And, you know, after all, like, we're a religious institution. It sounds that way based on the name.
It's Ireland, so it's
Ireland, just Catholic. Yeah. So it's, you know.
It's probably, it's Catholic in the sense that it is atheist.
Exactly, yeah. The most Catholic you can be.
Yeah.
Which is atheist.
It's just like, yeah.
No, probably what it was is that... the tourist attraction, the Book of Kells, a medieval manuscript that brings in a ton of money for Dublin. The college lost an estimated €350,000 in forfeited revenue because visitors could not view it.
That's so fucking cool.
So that's probably what cost it.
That's so smart. Yeah, that's so fucking smart. If there is some old as shit thing that everyone wants to look at and it gets money for your university... Block that shit. And that's how you get the goods. That is a good strategy right there.
Trinity said in a statement, we abhor and condemn all violence and war, including the atrocities of October 7th, and the taking of hostages and the continuing ferocious and disproportionate onslaught in Gaza. I think that's a perfectly fine statement. The humanitarian crisis in Gaza and the dehumanization of its people is obscene.
Little known fact, Book of Kells was actually R. Kelly's planned follow-up to Trapped in the Closet before he became, jailed.
Yeah. Trapped in a prison. Yeah.
All right. I think that'll do it for this episode of Iron Weeds.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed it. Check out our bonus episode on Mir Kahane and all the bonus content from Reaction. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah. Yep.
In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter.
Ironweeds Pod.
And on Instagram.
Ironweeds Pod.
And send us an email if you want to at Ironweeds Pod.
@gmail.com
Thank you so much. We love you. Bye-bye.
Lovely.
Peace.
Forgot the bears again.